you know Lara's birthday? Don't tell her.
Do I know what, say?
Her Lara's birthday. It's an aviation.
Oh, yeah.
Lara's birthday is an aviation
number.
Number.
Shit. I should know Lara's birthday.
It's not 380.
Or 330.
Are you a February birthday, though? When is your birthday?
I am a February birthday.
So what would it be? What would Lara's birthday be? It's a February birthday.
Well, that's two. You could have 219, 220, 221.
Yep. She said it.
She's in the Airbus family.
What is a 219?
It's a baby bus.
That's a 319.
Oh, shit. What did you say? I'm almost done with my drinks now. Okay. I'm almost too drunk.
Okay, I'm drinking a little more of her drink.
You said 219, 220. But you were thinking 319, 320, 321.
Oh.
But there is the 220. Yeah.
220. You're a 220.
I'm a 220. Yeah,
that is right.
And I've flown on several.
Yeah, but like,
and I have them in picture.
I've been on a 220 now.
Yeah.
Yes, you have.
I sounded like an idiot though, because I was announcing to everyone in the jet bridge, this is a 320. So whoops-a-daisy.
Well, at least you didn't say this is a Boeing Airbus.
I pulled a Boeing Airbus. I pulled a Katie.
This is on the that famous one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boeing 320.
I think it was that one time that gate agent, we were sitting there, Drew and I were sitting there in the gate area in Phoenix, and he said, "This is an Airbus 737. Drew and I look at each other like, "What?"
Those, yeah, I struggle with some of those because I'm like, that's not.
They're so confident when they say it, though.
Yeah, they're so confident.
Yeah,
bless their hearts.
You want to start it?
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is assigned.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Lara, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Lara.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Tyler.
It's just the three of us.
Well, I've noticed that we always start by saying we're back. And then as I was editing, and I was like, people that listen, we're every week. So why are you? Like, that doesn't make sense. But we don't always get together every week.
It's not always just the three of us.
So it feels like this is the first time we recorded this year, right? Because we recorded right before the new year.
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah,
we did a couple of things setting up. And then the last couple episodes we had recorded with Marcy and Chrissy before. So yeah, this is the first time we've been around each other.
No, I finally got Lara her Christmas present.
I'm wearing it right now. I like it.
So yeah, as I thought it was funny as I was editing, it's like, we're back. And it's like, the people that listen are like, you never went anywhere.
Where did you go?
Yeah. You're here every week. But yeah, it's good to be around you guys again. We've had a few things going on.
Yeah, I feel like we've all been pretty busy.
We've all been busy.
See, because you're on reserve. Let's start with that. Congratulations, first.
Well, you're almost halfway done.
Let's talk about it. Today's the 19th, so we're over like two-thirds of the month. And let's talk about what trips have you done on reserve so far.
Okay, really? No, nothing. Really.
No, I had
an ODAN.
Yeah.
I had an ODAN. Is that all I've had?
I think so.
I think you're right. Okay, but to be fair,
we shouldn't feel bad for you, because I had to get in the bin one time last week, and I was like, this is the worst, so you have to
do. True. You had to get in the bin. And then there was a whole discussion on, is it the bin? Is it the belly? Is it...
Different airlines, different cultures say it differently.
It's a bin.
When you were working ramp, what do they call it?
Bin.
You know, the bin,
get in the bin.
But our friends in Dulles, their airline calls it the pit.
Oh, they call it the pit?
Yeah.
I thought Patrick said it was belly.
I think Brittany said hers was the belly.
The belly, okay.
I've heard cargo hold, but I haven't heard pit. I guess I probably have somewhere, but yeah, we always called it, for the 16 years I'm with the airline.
The pit sounds exciting, like at the concert. You're like, right up front.
What the?
Mosh pit.
Yeah.
We always call it the bin. But anyways, what is NODAN?
ODAN stands for on duty all night. So we're paid as if we're on all duty all night. And it's technically the last flight into a city and then the first flight out in the morning. So you do go to a hotel, but you go to the hotel for 4 hours.
So you it was Sacramento, right?
I went to Sacramento, yes.
So you landed at midnight?
Oh, yeah. We were late. We were 2 hours late. So now that 2 hours is eating into that time. And then the crew van didn't come for another hour. We stood outside in the cold
Oh, no.
with two more pilots from a different same R pilots, but from a different flight. So this eight of us were out there. And anyway, we kept calling and they said it would be, he was coming. It was going to be 15 minutes. And the lift said it was going to be 15 minutes. So we just waited for the, so we got to the hotel and then we went to our rooms for, I'm not even kidding. I had an hour and a half of sleep.
Wow.
And then when I woke up and one of the girls I was flying with, cute young new thing. And she texted me and said, our flight's already delayed an hour. So I'm like, okay. So we went back to sleep. So I went downstairs and told the other two that were already downstairs, it's delayed an hour. Let's stay. And so then we went back to sleep because I was number one. So I was in charge of it. And so then we went back to sleep. And then we ended up leaving at least 2 or 3 hours late. We left so late that we had timed out. As flight attendants, we had timed out.
Okay.
But scheduling hadn't called me yet. And I told the gate agent, I said, you've got to close the door before scheduling calls me. Because we were locked and loaded and ready to go. I go, you've got to close that door before scheduling calls me. She goes, what do you mean? I go, we're timed out. That's how long. And she goes, oh. She's like immediately went into overdrive. And ran into the flight deck. The pilots didn't time out. It was us.
Yeah.
See, that's funny because normally that's not my experience. Usually they're just already telling us, you're going to want to deplane because we're timing out.
We're timing. Well, the reason why we were late in the morning was because when we brought the plane in, when they did the walk around, there was a ding in the wing.
Ew.
And so they didn't know what that was going to do for us the next day. And so they called maintenance overnight. But in Sacramento, we had to do contract maintenance. And so when the guy got to work that morning, he went over and looked at the ding, the mechanic, and he made a little cardboard. Passengers are going to love this part of the story. They made a little cardboard patty to fit inside the ding. And then he covered it all with
speed tape.
And then we were able to go.
He just MacGyvered it.
When we landed, though, the FAA was there to look at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess it must have been a pretty significant ding.
And were you willing to bring it home because you were coming home?
Correct.
Was it the same plane you took up?
Yes.
Okay.
But the whole thing is, we could have stayed, timed out, and we'd stay and get more pay. And the next day I was on call and I would know already what I'm doing. I would do one leg home and be done. So, I mean, it would have benefited me to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and that other girl, we were both on reserve and got it. So it would have benefited me, but I thought, let's just go home. And so then the next day when we landed, I called scheduling and said, hey, just so you know, this is what we did. We voluntarily went over our time. And so tomorrow, can you put me on a later schedule? And they said, sure. So at 3 o'clock, you're on call for 6 a.m. I'm like, wait, what? Because I didn't get home until 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's
and I was bonkers. On call the very next day.
But you didn't have to do another one, right?
No, I did not have to.
Because I was confused.
Still, thank you very much for helping.
In our conversation, because you were like, I can either just say contractually we're done, right?
Yeah.
And then not have to work the next day. But you still took it to get those people to.
Yeah, I felt bad for them. They were sitting there ready to go.
Yeah.
And all of them misconnected.
Oh,
but
I told
all of them. I said, you want to be misconnected in Phoenix where there's a base.
Yeah, they can have options then.
Yeah, unless you don't want to go at all. And then we did have two people get off.
Just, it's not worth that. Yeah.
Did you explain, when I miss it, ODAN, what does it stand for?
On duty all night.
All night.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you take your makeup off? Like, do you lay down? Do you change out of a uniform?
I usually take my makeup off and change into my pajamas so my body's ready to sleep, even if it's just for 2 or 3 hours. And had we been on time and everything, I could have gotten like almost 5 hours of sleep. So that would have been lovely.
Because normally you guys like them.
Uh-huh.
Right? I feel like senior. I talked to another flight attendant, that said that, they like those.
Well, they can be home all day with their kids and then come back early in the morning the next day and still be with their kids.
So almost like just working like a red eye shift.
Correct.
What if you had a boyfriend in Sacramento? It'd be perfect.
It would be perfect.
You have a hotel, just enough time, in and out.
That's what he said.
Yeah. In and out. So yeah, that was something. And I thought, this is my first trip on reserve. Thank you.
Start the month out.
So do people bid those though? They hold those
because
they like them?
Yeah.
Nice.
And people on reserve really like them because it takes care of 2 days because you're home all day.
Yeah, I think just with your delays on both ends, it probably made it not as enjoyable.
No.
If you choose to extend, you get extra pay, don't you?
Yes.
Did you guys get it? Or reserve is different?
I have to put in for it.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I have to put in for it. I know. And so this poor girl that I was flying with to Sacramento, she only had her shoulder bag or like her purse.
Because she thought, oh, just a quick there and back
kind of thing. Yeah. It's, well, the Odan.
But yeah. Yeah.
And she ended up taking off her makeup.
So you're not supposed to grab a beer?
And no. And not jump down the, not pull the slide and jump down it.
I had a question. I was wondering, because you did the Hawaii at the end of last month, and you usually do London's a lot. Are you more tired when you get back from London, where you've been flying 11 hours, but it's during the day, or when you do a red eye back from Hawaii?
I feel like it's the red eye is I'm more tired.
Because it's only like 5.5 hour flight, so it's like half the flight time. But just because of the way you direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why I was curious what trashes you more?
You know, and we discussed this when I got back. I'm more trash from the Hawaii. And the worst part is we only do one service. Well, two services. We do a service when we take off, but everyone's really asleep.
You crash, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, you serve maybe 10 drinks. And then at the arrival service, a lot of times they just want coffee or orange juice. It's pretty easy. So I'm just thinking in terms of work, I work much harder on the London flights, but I'm not as trashed. Isn't that funny?
Well, that's what I feel like as a gate agent or even just at the airport, you can always pick out people who are coming from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because they just look like zombies.
Yeah.
Walking around and you're like, yeah, that's a Hawaii person. So I could kind of see how, yeah, that direction at night just always feels like it takes it out of you.
Yeah.
That's curious. Yeah. Cause I was like, yeah, I feel like the Hawaii one too, but it's only half the time at most. But do you get to sleep on the Hawaii flights? I know you're always like, you don't have like a time like in the bunks, but do you kind of say like, I'm going to sit in the corner and take a little nap while some other people are?
No. But not, every not now and then, or? Not officially, but
like there's a wink, wink.
Every now and then I'll say, hey, like I'll even say it. Hey, I really have to close my eyes for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And you just let the other person know. So there's someone always, you know, awake.
Yeah.
And that and I'm not on a, I'm not watching a movie or anything in the back. I'm usually reading a book, standing. I stand the whole flight because otherwise I'll be sleepy.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one I made it without taking a little 20 minute nap.
Well, that one you actually did have possible bunks, right?
Yeah, that one we did have bunks.
So does people use them? Because it's such a short flight. If I love it, you can go for like half hour. You do.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
So do you read books like 50 Shades to keep you awake?
But yeah.
That type is the eroticus.
She's like, ooh.
She's over there fanning herself. Like, Laura's in a good section.
You know, I bought a Kindle for that so I could read it in my Kindle. No one would know what I was reading.
I had another question from Monique.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, I know which one this is.
So why are some gate agents so anal about making sure the passports are signed?
So I guess it's actually been like in our policy and procedures for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We need to make sure they're signed. But no one was even following that procedure. And then I guess they came out hard again and they were like, no, the policy and procedure is they need to be signed. I don't know if our airline was getting fined from countries of letting people travel without them signed. But I thought it was interesting when we did the Christmas markets, I noticed when we were checking in for Lufthansa going into Germany,
yeah.
I feel like it asked me like four times, like, are your documents signed? Is your passport signed? Is it signed? Is it signed? I had to keep saying, yes, it's signed. It's signed. So I don't know if Germany is one of the big ones that cares if it's signed or not. But so it's probably just management in local areas of.
Do you ask?
Yeah.
A lot. Okay.
But well, here's my thing. I just will let them know, hey, this needs to be signed to make it a valid document before you land. I'm not one that makes them sign them right there because then they want to take my pens. And,
And
I'm very particular about people taking my pens. And when people just reach over and grab it, it's one of my biggest pet peeves. So Usually I give them the dirtiest look and I go, oh, I guess you can use it since you already took it.
Yeah, that is rude though, to lean over and grab your pen.
I think it is. So yeah, so I just let them know, hey, this just needs to be signed before you land.
But it's kind of weird that it needs to be signed at all. Like it has your picture. What is that signature? Or I mean, like our little kids, like I heard one of the gate agents recently saying like, you can sign it for little kids. And it's like, what does it matter? That doesn't make sense. Like, why does there have to be a signature? They're not going to go say, yes, that's his signature. Like, his picture's right there.
Well, kids are different. You sign for them and indicate that you're the adult. But it's part of the U.S. passport. It's not every country. It's just U.S. passports that have to be signed.
Okay. But still, It's like, why? I don't understand. So maybe.
Yeah, I don't. It's just how the U.S. passport is.
Yeah.
And that's it. The thing is, people will be like, I've traveled on this multiple times and never had an issue. And usually my answer to that is like, you just want to be careful because you don't know the next like customs person you run into. They may have issue with it.
Yeah.
Trying to save you because maybe you could go 10 times and no issues, but you get that one agent that customs agent that's like, nope.
But there's been a number of flights I've been on where you don't hear anything. And then another one at a gate agent is just like screaming it like constantly. And it's like, why is there such a huge drastic?
Well, and I'll have like partners working London, for example, that will like make everyone sign it right there. And I'm like, you're taking too long. Like, we don't have time. Cause yeah, out of like, so how many people does London hold? Like almost 300, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. You'll get at least 40 passports that are unsigned.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Shocking. And Mexico's the same way. Like, there's Mexico probably has 30 passports that are unsigned. And it's, I don't feel like we have time to make everyone sign it right there. So I'll go, just before you land, keep moving.
Next, please.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, right?
Yeah.
Because like in London, you just scan the passport. It's not looking for your signature to be like, is that, no, like it's passport. It's you.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you remember my passport, in the sense we're kind of talking about passports, debacle.
Yeah.
I send it in. So we're going to do it. We're going to guess and see. And then we'll look back and see.
Okay. What date did you send it in?
December 28th. They took it to the post office. So when's your guess of when I'll get it back? No, they say 8 weeks.
Who gets to go first?
Oh, I'm going to just, my first thing came to my mind was March 18th.
March 18th?
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty quick.
Okay.
I was thinking February 28th.
Oh, she thinks even quicker.
Wow. I got it back last week.
Did you really?
It took 15 days from when I sent it till I got it back in the mail. Yeah, it's quick. So.
Oh, Monique, now he's going to lord it all over us that he didn't pay the expedite fee and blah, blah, blah.
Holy Moses.
So I wonder if it's because like summer's not, before summer, I bet people are, and now it's, I mean.
So. Well, do you think renewals are quicker? Like, do you think that's a quicker process?
Yeah, maybe because it's just like they've already had one and it wasn't expired, which it still can if it's been expired, but it was still active.
So you have the new passport with like the hard page?
And we got
like
the thick ones because I remember after our last one, Matthew in Dallas, when we were talking about him, he said, make sure you get him with the extra pages because some places will, if you don't have enough pages for stamps. Not that I was worried about running out of pages because I don't get to travel as much as I would like, but they won't let you. It's not valid if there's not places to stamp. So without paying any more, you can get the bigger book, which is just more pages for the same price.
Oh, okay.
So ours are thicker passports now.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. So now may be a good time to do passports if you're looking. Like our parents are saying they have 8 months. And I said, well, maybe you should.
Just get it done now. You know, like, you're not,
I don't
want
to waste money because like, if you can wait. But right now, this time of year, maybe a good time to, maybe not. Maybe it's just we got lucky, but it was quick.
Yeah, no, I feel like that is super quick.
And I went down to the post office in Phoenix, which is like the main one where they ship. Like, if you send it out, it goes out that night.
It's right by the Rafi sign?
Or which Rafi there? But it's the main one,
right there on Washington.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do a lot of when I ship stuff. I need to go fast. I'll go to get there. And also, they're good with, like, our local one, Katie, tried to do it from there, and they were like, we don't do passports here. Like, they didn't know all the little things, but, and the main ones, they do it all the time. So, so I got it back. So, I'm still on for Tijuana.
Right on.
Good, I'm glad.
So.
I'm glad.
But I remember I pulled it up to see what the status was, and it was, like, delivered. And I was like, what? Like, so I ran out and checked the mail, and it was delivered.
Do you know our airline is up for Cranky Networks Award for new routes?
You know, oh, really?
Yeah, and Tijuana. And I'm like, really?
That was?
Yeah, it's listed as in there.
Well, there's no one in the States that flies there. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
So it's, I don't think they'll win.
I think more the way they're expanding down by Cancun. What's?
Tulum.
Tulum.
The new airport.
Tulum, yeah.
But everyone's going there.
I just feel like that's going to be a big route too.
Yeah. Especially if it's not such a hassle. Getting out of Cancun's kind of a hassle. All three of us have experienced that. Maybe you have a guy.
No, I
did. But it's expensive to get anywhere out of there. And it's so. The holidays are over now for a few weeks. But I feel like it's good for our family. We're finally like getting back to kids to school, out of the house. How was it? Because you had.
Well, both our kids went back the same day.
One drive, though.
Yeah. So Hayden drove up to Flagstaff, and then Zach was going to fly to Chicago. And flights had looked great. And then this whole winter weather storm that's like taken the whole country kind of happened. And so his flight that had, I think it had over 60 seats in the morning, went down to like no seats.
Wow. What?
And then it was weight restricted when we got there. And he's got a buddy that he plays football with that his mom also works for the airlines.
Okay.
And so all day they're texting back and forth about like, what flight are you going to try? And he's stressing Zachy out because he's like, I'm going to have to use a vacation pass. Like, I don't think, he's like, bud, you're not going to get on your flight. And I was like, if there were 60 at one point, I still feel pretty confident. Like,
yeah,
you're going to be okay. But I was watching the weather everywhere and I was like, oh, geez. So we get to the airport, we check his bags. And I had seen like the next morning, Tucson to Chicago had like 19 seats. So I said, worst case, we'll just drive you down Tucson in the morning, get you home.
Yeah.
Not ideal. But anyway, so we get to the gate. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're weight restricted right now. We need like either to get weight back or we need people not to show up. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So they start boarding. And then all of a sudden I see them stop and I see a delay flag like go up on our monitor.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, what is happening? And he was flying out in the evening. And I feel like anytime evening flights get delayed, you have to worry about crew issues.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Because nighttime makes me nervous because crews are usually getting toward the end of their days. And so, and then it's harder to replace them. So I was like, oh, crap. So we're sitting there. I go up and I go like, what's going on? And they said when the, I think it's called the ACARS, like the information that comes into the pilots, it pretty much said it's too cold to land in Chicago right now. Because I think like it was already negative. Like negative 10 or something there. Like that. Yeah,
the pictures with people that work on the ramp, I was like, oh.
And then wind chill was up to like negative 27 or something like that. So it felt like it was negative 27 for him. And so they were saying it's too dangerous for the rampers to be out on the tarmac for too long. So the air traffic control was regulating how many planes were coming in to help them only have to be out there working flights for so long and then give them a break. So they finally get their window. They say, okay, you guys are good to come in. So they start loading again and we're sitting there waiting going, okay. And the gate agent, they were great. They'd already knew like Zachy was trying to get on, who I was and all that stuff. So they were like, we've talked to loads. They said, we can't get any more. Captain's his tried. They said, no more wait. So I'm like, oh crap. So we have to have someone not show up. Otherwise he's not getting on. Anyway, and then last minute, they knew Zachy was trying to get on. So local people that hadn't showed up, my friend was like, nope, they're not here. All right. And hurrying threw him on, hugged him quick, sent him. And yeah, he made it. And I think they actually only got in like 10 minutes late, even though they were delayed almost an hour. They'd made enough time.
And he didn't have to use a vacation pass.
Did his other guy do it? You won?
Yeah. His buddy had went on an earlier flight, used a vacation pass. And I was like, that's what Zachy kept saying. Do I need to use one? Should I do this? And I was like, no, it's too early to burn them. Like, I don't, unless he had another trip that he could kind of continue it on and use it. I just was like, for one leg. I was like, I think you're going to be okay.
Especially if you had that backup in Tucson, like you got ways.
But yeah, this kid also showed up, he was telling us that he was going to put his socks and his carry-on on his hands when he got out there as gloves because he didn't have gloves. It was just like, this dummy's going to freeze.
So do you remember our guest, Larissa, when you talked about the ramp? She worked on the ramp in Chicago?
Yeah.
And she did the de-icing bucket.
Oh, she? Okay.
That's kind of crazy.
Would that be warmer, though? Because are you like in a...
I think if you're in the new ones, some of the old ones are out in the elements, but the new ones are mostly all inside.
Are they?
In the buckets. I think it would, but I'm assuming because I've never done it. Yeah, seeing some of the pictures... Like, we have extreme temperatures in Phoenix, too, but ours in the summer. And I've kind of went back, what would be worse, like that in Chicago or the heat? They both are awful. Like, both could kill you, like, if you're not careful, the cold or the heat. I mean, if you don't drink enough, but they're both extreme. Like, and you know it's cold because I was cold in Arizona. Like, I mean, and so you know if it's cold here, how cold is it in real cold places? Because it was... I mean, it was freezing here. It froze. Like, yeah. So I can imagine like some of those, but kind of like in the summer, they'll get like 2 weeks of summer. Like we get our 2 weeks of winter and it's like, you know, 95 or 100 in Chicago.
I think the cold would be worse.
You like the heat anyways.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. The cold, I feel like would get in your bones and like, it's hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
But like heat, you could cool off your you know, almost pour water on you and things like that. But the cold just sticks with you.
That's, I was talking to our friend Nicole in Chicago that was on the show. Mm-hmm. And she said she slipped on some ice and fell and hell hurt. And I said, I put my hand on a tug in the winter and burned my hand.
Like, on the winter?
In the summer.
Oh, yeah. You wear gloves. Yeah, for sure.
You touch the metal on like our tugs. Like you could burn yourself. And oh, so, yeah.
Well, that's because when I did the Express, we would be under those 200s. Sometimes we'd have to hook the air up with a portable air thing, yeah. And it would be right behind the engine. So in the summer when it's already like 115 and then you're having like
the jet blast
on you, it had to be like at least, I want to say 130 plus. Like it was so hot. You'd have to, like in seconds, you try to like hook things up, yeah. And let go, hook things like this.
Well, hopefully if you are listening and you work in those cold, you stayed warm.
I thought Nashville got hit hard.
Everything did.
Isn't that funny, Nashville? Who would have thought?
Well, there was a couple of days where I feel like in Phoenix later on in that storm was kind of outside the bubble because Dallas was like, I was going to go to Dallas for a weekend with the kids and it was supposed to be like 7 degrees. And so I said, okay, we're not going. And it ended up being like 65 here. Like we were outside that bubble. So I was like, it's a beautiful day in Phoenix, but yeah. Everyone's like, shut up.
He was rubbing it in.
I was like, it's coming. Like we have our time of the year. It's just,
yeah. Well, I feel like yeah, every day we were getting notices about like this city is embargoed for unaccompanied minors. Like you cannot send them through here. Like yeah. This city's now, and the list just kept growing.
I'm glad they're looking at that.
So I don't know if you guys had the chance to listen, but our very own Lara Ketterman was on NPR.
Or even if he didn't even know, people may not have, because we probably post that on social media.
Right? I think it went on social media,
but not as much as we probably should have. Yeah. So what happened? Tell us. Or you.
Well, so she was an expert.
I was an expert guest on LA, out of LA. LA, it's called LAX Time. So on NPR, talking about from a flight attendant aspects, we were talking about the Japan Airlines
incident. Yeah.
Right after that, the crash, right?
Right after. Uh huh.
And I was very impressed with you. You did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. I was really shaky at first. But then the second time I spoke, I felt better.
I wish it would give you more time to talk, honestly.
Yeah, I actually thought that as well. I was going like, okay, when's Lara's turn again?
Thank you. Yeah, because I felt they had an expert on there that was talking about fire evacuations. And he's from the UK. So they were speaking with him from the UK. And I thought a lot of what he was saying is stuff that I would say. And I was so proud of myself for remembering, you know, look at Miracle on the Hudson.
Yeah.
Everybody had their luggage out there on the wing. Not everybody, but a few people. So now hopefully people will know to leave their luggage.
What if your iPad is already in your hands?
Nope. Nope.
No, because okay. Then you can't grab, if you're using the overwing exit, you kind of have to grab the sill as you're getting out.
Okay. I've never went down the slide before, so I don't know.
Oh, you should come to corporate. We should go down the slide.
Because I thought, well, if something was in my seat back pocket, maybe I would grab that. But you don't even grab that.
Don't. Just go. Just get off.
But you know what is funny is I do remember, so when I went through our reservations training, one of our trainers was at reservations when the Miracle on the Hudson happened.
Oh, yeah.
And she was part of the team. We call it our care team, or the team that helps people, like families and things like that, get things that were lost in the incident. So they were having to like replace keys and any items.
Wow.
So yeah, so the people would come to them and say, this is what I had on board with me. This is what needs to be replaced. And then we would help them get things replaced. So I guess like knowing that, you know that you can get a new iPad or whatever's kind of comforting.
Oh, that's really good. So if people knew that, maybe they wouldn't take the extra 10 seconds because you might get out with that iPad, but the person 3 rows behind you might not be able to get out in time now. My big takeaway from that was he asked me, you know, what's the best thing? And I said, keep your shoes on and make sure they're close-toed. I mean, all that on that Japan Airlines, think about that. All the structural damage, all those sharp metal.
Yeah.
Like that could slice your feet up as you're trying to get off. Yeah, keep your shoes on all the time and make sure they're closed toe. That was my takeaway.
That was my disagreement.
I know.
So what if your slippers have a hard sole and are closed toed?
Well, that would be different.
That's fine then. Yeah. Okay.
Got it. It's better than nothing. Yeah. Don't be like the guy on Claudia's flight that was barefoot.
With his pajamas.
Otherwise, you're going to be like the guy on, what's that Christmas movie where he walks on the glass? It's a debatable Christmas movie.
Die Hard.
Remember this? Do you remember the scene where he walks on that glass?
Yeah, that'd be hard. I think that my thought would be definitely from is takeoff and landings. But if you're 30,000 feet in the air and you're falling, you'll have time to put your shoes on. Right?
Probably would have time.
And if you get sucked out at 30,000, it doesn't matter if you have shoes on or not.
No, it doesn't.
I would prefer not to wear fireman boots like Lara does the whole flight.
They're sexy, though.
So, but yeah, I mean,
that's all she's wearing.
So the takeaways that, yeah, I think people need to make sure they're paying attention from both Alaska and from JAL is because the guy was the guy sitting right in the exit row that got, he had a seatbelt on, so he didn't get sucked out. Or was he close to it, like in the row?
I'd heard that no one was actually in the window.
In the window
seat.
No
one was in the window.
But there was a guy, maybe this is just rumors, but he had his shirt sucked off.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And
oh, wow.
They found, so things got sucked out. So if you were in that window and you didn't have your seatbelt on, you were probably gone.
Wow. Yeah. That is crazy to think about. Yeah.
That lady on Southwest.
Because I think, and that was probably still on takeoff, but like keep your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
That's so good. That's keep the seatbelt on and keep your shoes on. I'm sorry. Keep your shoes on. Sorry.
No shirt, no service, no shoes.
Yeah, I wonder if the care team will get that kid another shirt that got sucked off.
He probably wants more than that. I think they're paying everyone on the flight a bit.
You know what I just learned? Boeing is, from Next Trip Podcast, Boeing is responsible for some of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
It is?
I feel like it's fair.
And Spirit.
And Spirit.
Not Spirit Airlines. It's the company that makes those doors.
Oh, so I was like, why Spirit Airlines?
It's like, pay for
Spirit? It's like Spirit Aerosystems. Yeah, there's a company out of like the Midwest, Omaha or somewhere. Uh-huh. They make a lot of parts for Boeing. And they're the ones that made it. Yeah. Would you guys feel comfortable flying on the 737 MAX 9? We don't have any on our fleet. But would you, like if you were to fly Zed and...
Yeah. Was it a 900?
Yeah.
It was brand new.
Because I feel like I saw a TikTok of someone on the plane, and I feel like they scanned over, and the safety card wasn't a 900, I didn't think.
Yeah, it was.
It was a 900. Yeah, because
the nines, like ours, we only have eights. The nines have that extra door, the extra door that has.
And that's what that is.
The whole plug.
Apparently, they don't have an extra door. Yeah.
There was a lot of funny memes that came out. Did you see those?
My favorite one was the Alaska plane completely covered with speed tape. Yeah. Fixed it.
There was one that was Alaska CEO, and it said, just like everyone know, we have an open door policy.
That was good. I guess because no one got hurt, you can laugh at that.
Wait, in our group chat, did you remember that? And I said, what's the bigger, both stories happen right after each other. What's the bigger story? The JAL one, where people died in it, or the Alaska one? I think that was the Alaska story, though, because that's, and since then, other airlines, United, have found loose bolts in their doors.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And Alaska's found more. So it's a bigger issue than...
Well, there are only four bolts in that door. Four.
Jeez. I'm going to be honest. Now that we close the 37 doors, there are times when I shut it and I go, I hope that shut. And I kind of do a little prayer.
Well, if it helps you, we watch you shut it. And then we always, our part of our press procedures is to grab the handle and push down all the way.
Just to make sure?
Uh-huh.
Oh, thank goodness.
Only on a 737.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we attach the slide to the door.
Well, because I feel, the Airbuses, you know for sure, like it's flush, it's good, but there's just sometimes it goes real easy with the 737s and you're like, that seemed too easy. And other times you fight it, and you're like, I think that's in.
Okay. So I feel like poor Chrissy, our guest we had, you know,
last week.
Uh-huh. I said to her, has anything weird or funny happened on your flight? She goes, oh, no. Well, you know, we jinxed her.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Right? What happened?
You tell her. She told you. So she had a service dog?
She had a service dog on board that pooped.
Ay, ay, ay. How long was the flight?
It was from Phoenix to... Was she going back to...
I think she's going to Denver. So it wasn't that long a flight.
It wasn't that long. But yeah, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare for her. And she texted and said, you guys jinxed me. And I'm like, okay, you're right. You're correct. We did.
So the problem with that too, though, is that can be a biohazard, which can actually take a plane out of service, depending on how messy it is. So I don't know like the whole circumstances, but I've had where either like people have had incidents or dogs have had incidents where it's taken planes out of service. So it's not like a little thing. Like it's just...
No.
I thought that... True service animals, and maybe Justin can tell us differently, but they are supposed to be very well trained. Like, that shouldn't happen.
Correct.
I mean, I guess a human could have a diarrhea all over the place. I guess a dog can too, but.
Yeah, just ask Delta. But no, the thing is, we went away from, we don't have emotional support animals anymore.
Okay, so it's got to be.
So those have kind of transferred just into the whole category of service animals. So they're not always what you think of, like that super strict.
Like helping animals. A blind person or helping someone with like epilepsy or something.
Correct.
Okay. It's just like,
yeah,
a blanket for all dogs.
Yeah.
So on behalf of the podcast, on behalf of the Non-Rev Lounge, Chrissy, we apologize.
Yeah. Sounds gross. Ugh.
She was a fun guest though.
Yeah, she was a fun guest.
But yeah, it was funny when she, the next day, said, "You won't believe."
There's your story.
So should we talk about the big news we decided? Yeah. Do you know about it?
No. What big news? I love big news, though.
Speaking of L.A. and your your NPR visit, that's what was the reason you were on, right? It was to promote your birthday party?
Yeah, that was why.
No, we haven't talked about it on here because we decided since we've recorded. So if you only listen to the podcast, you don't know about this. We've talked about it on social media. But in a couple weeks, on February the 3rd,
Saturday,
we are meeting in L.A. For lunch.
Lara's 40th.
Birthday party.
Bless you.
Yeah. So we're meeting for your big birthday party. We're going to meet at Proud Bird and we're going to have lunch from noon to four. We've already had a bunch of people reach out to us, but if you're just hearing about it now, you're welcome to come. So let's talk about Proud Bird. We've already talked about it a little bit, but now that we're actually going to have people join us, let's talk about it a little bit more.
And I'm really excited your kids are coming because Proud Bird is a fun place for kids.
It is super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a cool place. It's right under basically right under the runway on the south side. And so planes are landing almost right over your head. Like, so
it's exciting.
Your cameras, there's a big outdoor, there's a lot of food, all different kinds of, so you can go in and order your food and we'll just kind of have a couple hours there to spend the day. So if you want to come, let us know, we can.
But it's family friendly. It's a place you can just hang out.
Yeah.
People who don't even necessarily enjoy like planes and are like av geeks, it's still cool because the planes are so close to see them come in.
There's hopefully we can sit outside on those chairs, but if it's a little weather, we can go inside. They've got it's a big venue.
It's a big venue.
And it's close to LAX. Like it's right there at LAX. There's a couple ways to get out there because it's not really whacking. I mean, you could walk it, but it's a ways. But the way that I'll probably go, so I think I've mentioned on this here before, but if you're looking to come and you can take, so the Green Line is one of the trains in LA, and there's a shuttle that goes from the airport to the Green Line.
Okay.
And it goes about 10-minute walk past Proud Bird, and you just walk back 10 minutes and you're Proud Bird. It's a free shuttle to the Green Line. So you just, when you go outside, look for the Green Line shuttle. Down with all the buses. And
it just looks like a city bus?
Like a city bus.
Shuttle bus, but it'll say Green Line.
There's so many buses through LAX, all the different shuttles and rental cars. And
well, that's good to know is you have to take a shuttle to get over to like even the Uber area anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're paying all their service fees of leaving the airport. So you might as well just take, you're already taking a shuttle, just take a shuttle and then walk back
a little bit. Yeah, there's some buses, city buses, if you get outside, that'll take you right to Proud Bird, like the ones we've taken from over by the H Hotel. It's like a dollar city bus. So then you have to get off the airport. You can go to get an Uber or something, but you have to take it over. And then the prices are pretty high. But it's close to LAX, but it's not like you can't walk. Like you could walk to In-N-Out but we're going to go to Proud Bird. So it's not too hard to get to. And then you should be able to do it for cheaper, almost free.
Nice.
And being at noon, hopefully it's a time when people can fly in that morning if they want. I'm planning on flying in the morning. And then being done by 4, hopefully most places there's still plenty of flights to leave.
Still give you options to get home
for day trips. Home. I mean, if you want to go longer, and it's going
to
be fun.
It's a good excuse for all of us to get together too.
Get drunk. or just get together.
Just get together.
But they do have a bar inside.
They do, yes.
Yeah, and they have really good craft beer.
And good food. And so it'll be fun. And come celebrate Lara's birthday with us.
Hey, thank you.
Well, I think they're reasonably priced too. Like, it's not.
You can get a burger there. You can get Thai food. You can get pizza. You can get barbecue.
Yeah, they have a lot of options. So, and it should be. Hopefully, it's good weather. California usually is. If it's not, like I said, but bring a jacket. Could be a little cool. But
yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're looking for that. So, February 3rd, noon. If you have questions, write us and we'll let you know all the information we have. We don't have much more, but. It's going to be fun. Good to see everyone.
Yeah, be fun. What time's this tripper coming?
What time are you be there?
Oh, I'll be there at noon.
Okay, noon.
Yeah, I'll be there at noon.
She didn't get the joke.
I didn't get it. No, I'm sorry.
You're the stripper.
Oh, I thought you said sister.
Oh, no. I said, when's the stripper coming? Oh, it's...
So, all right, well, it's going to be good to see everyone. And to join us this week, I'm excited to be back. And,
yeah. Get a hold of us at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com and stay safe.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
I think if I died, Dave would just run out and marry some kind of young 15-year-old Mexican girl. Oh, maybe 18, because she'd have to be of age. Yeah, that's what I think he would do.
Because Dave's a pervert. And then you're like, maybe not that bad.
I think every man wants a younger woman, so they feel younger themselves.
I don't know if I'd remarry. Sounds like a lot of work.
I'm done. But I'm all about the fun. Afterwards.
Yeah, that doesn't have to stop that.
No. Notice Tyler stays noticeably silent.
Yeah, he's not.
Notably silent.
I'm not going to incriminate myself.
But I also saved a life that time too, because I was walking around the side of it. Everybody was like centered in the middle, and I was walking around the side and I saw this lady and her mom get on the escalator. You know, that one escalator that goes all the way down.
Yeah.
And the mom got on first and then the lady with her bag, and they started going down. And I just have a peripheral vision. I'm walking over to give somebody a bag and I look, and the lady lost control of her bag on the escalator. And so it started like poop, 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 going down, knocked her mom out. Her mom went down and the bags. So I ran over there and hit the stop button. And then when other people were trying to get on the escalator at the same time, so I'm putting my mom arm out, you know, my mom arm was out, so I'm not denying them entry to the escalator while I'm hitting you have to lift up that plastic okay. placard and then touch the red button. You know, it's a red stop. And then they stopped. And I'm like, I thought I was going to be able to start it up again, but no, it took a special key.
Did you see that video?
No, I say, but if Beryl's listening, that sounds chairman-ish.
There's a video of someone with a suitcase and it gets away from them and it goes down and it takes someone
out. It takes everybody out.
At the bottom, yeah. Like
it sure does.
I've seen one, get loose and go down. Luckily, no one was in the way, but it gets speed. Yeah, like you could hurt someone for sure.
Oh, yeah. And you'll see places that they have signs that say, like, and if you can't control them, don't take this.
And it launched it at the bottom too. Like it shot it clear down almost to like the carousel area, like where the carousels are at. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the cops came running over to check out what was going on.
Wow. Yeah, and this guy says to me, he goes, I'm over there looking, all of a sudden I see you start running and I see your arm go flying out. And I'm like, what is she doing?
But mom was okay?
Yeah, mom was okay.
Good.